Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Just in case you've been living under a rock, the world is going down the tubes. It's true. And to be honest, it's kind of incredible, right? We see that in the United States, Christianity is on the decline. And religions like Islam are actually increasing, not only in the Middle East, but also here in the United States. The morality of our country seems to be headed toward the toilet as well. People see no use for God's word. People see no use for God's law, even though God specifically put these into place to protect us. Even within the visible church on earth, sin runs rampant. It's not called to repentance, but it's allowed to go unchecked. If you're into boycotting the quote-unquote unchristian organizations, you should know that in our secular world, there is Target, Starbucks, Pepsi-Cola, Coca-Cola, Microsoft, Apple, Anheuser-Busch, Miller, Coors, Old Navy, The Home Depot, Gap, the folks who make Oreos, Macy's, General Mills, JCPenney, Walgreens, Absolut, Smirnoff, Citibank, Nike, Ben & Jerry's, Google, eBay, MasterCard, Facebook, Instagram, AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, who have all taken a pro-LGBT stance. I'm certain there are many, many more. Many other companies that we should avoid because of their atrocities. And maybe even to put the icing on the cake, March 17th, a new movie was released, Beauty and the Beast. Did you hear that Disney just openly welcomed a gay character into the cast? Don't even get me started on the political unrest. Don't even get me started on the way that people do not value human life in our country. The truth is that if you really want to take a look at our nation, take a look at what we've been given in this world and in this life, there's enough to drive you to despair. To make you think that if only you had the money, if only you had the funds, you could go ahead and buy that private island where you could seclude yourself and get away from it all. Now, this might be hard to believe, but even as we know the myriad of problems in this world, we still have reason for rejoicing. Of all things, we have reason to rejoice in our sin-filled world. Paul tells us, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But what does all that mean? Justified by faith, peace with God. The truth is that what Paul gives us here is a gospel message for you and a gospel message for the whole world. It's no secret the world is messed up. But the truth is that even in the midst of our world, you are safe. Even on the worst day, even as the world goes down the tubes, you are safe. Because to be justified means that you are declared innocent in God's sight. No matter what. It means that Jesus has come to solve the problems of the world, that he's come to be there for you in the midst of the afflictions, in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of this crazy, messed up world. He says, I have died for you, and I have risen for you. And the truth is that you really want to know what it's like to not have something to rejoice for. Imagine a world without Jesus. The truth is, the way that God sees us without Jesus is not indifferent. It's not neutral. God does not see us as good people except for the sake of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how Christian you act. Without Jesus, all God sees is sin. sin that deserves to be punished. And if all God sees is sin, then there is no peace. There is no relationship. There is no rejoicing, period. This is precisely why what Jesus comes to do is so important. His bloody death, his glorious resurrection, it makes you innocent. It purifies you from your sin, and it brings you into a peaceful relationship with God. Because Jesus has been the sacrifice, because he has made you that promise. And a promise that means you will continue to receive every good thing, even as you are receiving every good thing right now. Literally, in our world, in this messed up place, you are being saved from every single affliction, from every single problem. That is where you stand with God. But all for the sake of Jesus. And so when we do see these problems of the world, what we ought to do is not despair, but to rejoice that the Lord is still in the process of saving us from all of this. But the truth is that we still live in a world filled with lost people. People who cannot find their way. They do what is evil in God's sight and they call it good. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They wander around doing whatever pleases them, and they don't even realize that they're wandering into Satan's grasp, into his clutches. In fact, they're already there. Satan is sort of chomping at the bit to drag these people to hell, to take the world with him. Which brings us back to Jesus again. You see, in our text, what Jesus does is he enters a village of Samaria. And remember, it specifically tells us that Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. In fact, they hate each other. There are some serious religious conflicts going on, serious differences in what the Samaritans think are right and wrong, and what the Jews think is right and wrong. To be honest, it sounds a lot like the culture we've been given to live in. If we compare Christianity to the rest of the world, we have very different ideas of what is right and what is wrong. We have very different ideas about what we should believe and what we shouldn't believe. They're literally opposed to each other. And so what does Jesus do as he sort of enters into this Samaritan village? But he has a conversation. He talks with a Samaritan woman. Now, it would have been easy enough for Jesus just to sort of sit at the well, and the Samaritan woman could have come with her bucket and scoop out of the well, and then she could have gone on her merry way, and Jesus could have just left it without saying anything. But that's not what Jesus does. Instead, he has a conversation with this woman who he adamantly disagrees with. He begins a relationship with her. Not to say that he accepts her sin in any way or her false religion, but the truth is that he does not avoid this woman. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He initiates a conversation. And through this relationship, Jesus is able to call this woman's sin to repentance for her sexual sin. And I'm certain if she had any other gross sins, Jesus would have brought those to light too. But Jesus tells her that what the life she's been living, it's wrong. He recognizes her brokenness and he gives her the promise. You're looking for the Christ, you're looking for the Messiah, I'm the guy. Jesus says, I am he. That he is the one who has come to save her from the broken world, to save her from her sin. And what does he do? But he pours out his love into the heart of this woman. He gives her the Holy Spirit and she believes. And she leaves behind her sin-filled life. What's more, but notice where Jesus' disciples are during this whole conversation. Of all things, they are buying food from the Samaritans. They're using Samaritan products, supporting Samaritan economy. Well, they're the disciples of Jesus. How could they do such a thing? Shouldn't they be boycotting the Samaritans? You see, Jesus and his disciples do not remove themselves from the world. They don't boycott the sinner. They don't boycott everything that is deemed unchristian, but instead they use it as an opportunity to deliver the gospel. Instead of cloistering themselves away or sort of avoiding these sinners, they do the hard work of starting conversations and ultimately delivering the message of Jesus Christ. That is what they do. My friends, the truth is there are a lot of problems in the world. It's no secret to us. It might be Islam, it might be the LGBT crowd, it might be the lack of Christian morality, it might be the political unrest, but I promise you, you're stuck here. You are stuck living in this world, which means you will rub elbows with Muslims. You will rub elbows with those who support the LGBT crowd. You will rub elbows with those who have less than Christian morals and those who maybe support another political party than you do. You will rub elbows with all sorts of people you disagree with. And when those issues arise, when this comes up, don't fall into despair. Don't avoid it. But instead, see it for what it is, an opportunity. An opportunity to call a thing what it is, to call sin to repentance and to speak about Jesus Christ, to speak about the hope that God has placed you into. Because the truth is that you have been justified by faith. You have peace with God through Jesus Christ. You have obtained access by faith into God's grace in which you now stand. And you rejoice in the hope of the glory of the Lord. That's a promise. That is a gift from God to you. Because Jesus has been bloody and resurrected. Your sins are forgiven. You are innocent in God's sight. You have the world handed to you on a silver platter for Jesus' sake. And eternal life is just waiting for you. A time when you will not have to deal with any of these problems anymore. Thanks be to God. We should rejoice in that. But in the meantime, we're still living in an ungodly world. We're still living in a time where people don't know this message, where they live in their sin and they don't know any better. And the truth is that we were all there once too. There was a time before you believed. There was a time when God loved you even before you loved Him. And there are many ungodly people in the world who need to hear about Jesus. They need you to go and rub elbows with them. They need you to sit at a well and not just watch them pass by, but actually start a conversation. Because the truth is that you know about Jesus Christ, His crucifixion, His resurrection, what He has done for you. Thanks be to God. But there are many in this world who are still sick, who are still weak. And at the right time, Christ died for them too. And they need to hear the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.